Brian, we talk a lot on this podcast about guest experience, but something that doesn't get discussed as often as it should, especially in vacation rentals, is guest amenities.
That's right, Matt. Offering basic guest amenities like soap and laundry pods on every property is key to providing a great guest experience. The problem is, it's a huge pain for property managers to pull that off, from purchasing and storing everything to getting all those boxes kitted up for each home. No wonder we hear so often from property managers that turn days suck.
That's why we're excited to be partnering with Sojo, who is on an absolute mission to make turn days suck less by automating your guest amenities.
Sojo guest amenity boxes are uniquely created for each of your homes, filled with luxury amenities, beautifully packaged up room by room, plus extras like paper goods and trash bags. They'll connect to your reservation calendar and ship those boxes to you right in time for every turn day. No more storing or kidding. Sojo takes care of you step by step.
And Sojo is offering 30 days of free guest amenities to GuestX listeners. Claim your free amenities and learn more at getsojo.com/GuestX. That's getsojo, SOJO.com/guest and the letter X. Go and claim your free guest amenities today. Welcome to the GuestX podcast, where my co-host Brian Amaui and I uncover the latest technologies and human-driven initiatives that are raising customer expectations and forever changing how we define customer experience. If you are passionate about creating incredible content and unique experiences, join us as we talk to leading product and experience experts across the globe and learn how today's most successful brands are setting themselves apart from the competition.
Okay, another great week here on the GuestX podcast. I am your host, Matthew Loney, with my co-host, Brian Hamaui. Brian, I tell you what, I'm cold in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, in a cabin, but now I don't feel that bad when I hear that the weather in Orlando.
Matt, I was just kidding, but honestly, this weekend is projected to get down to about 19-20 degrees here in Orlando. And I just moved into a brand new house on the lake, and all I've done is just look at the lake because it's too freaking cold to get to. So I didn't move to Orlando to be in 20 degree weather.
Yeah, and I understand that, but forgive us if no one pities you about your home overlooking the lake in Orlando. but good, I'm glad. So you've gotten settled into the new home and we can start back with the podcast again?
I think so, if you're ready to go. Today's guest is a pretty good guest in my book.
No question. Yeah, there's going to be a lot to pack into about 25 minutes here. Why don't you do a little intro for our guest today?
Yes, I think if you're from the vacation rental industry, you're going to know our guest. It's Mike Harrington. He's the CEO and owner of Carolina Retreats, a specialty lodging and vacation rental management firm serving more than 300 vacation rental throughout the Cape Fear region. Before founding Carolina Retreats in 2015, Mike spent 10 years in the Outer Banks as CEO and general manager of Resort Realty. Mike is also a past president and board member of the Vacation Rental Managers Association, the VRMA, the largest international trade association for the vacation rental industry. Mike is frequented in all sorts of chats and talks. He's on stage a lot, and people are always looking for his advice. Mike, welcome to the show. We're really excited to have you here today.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me. For better or worse, they're asking my advice. Occasionally, I have something to share that actually is positive.
Yeah, a lot of times. And we listen to a lot of what you say. So we're excited to have you here. Let's get started by getting to know your background a little bit. And I'd love for our audience as well. You started back in, 2005, somewhere around there. I think the industry, since the time you started in the vacation rentals, has changed quite a bit. So I'd love to get your take on what you've seen over the last 15, 20 years, how we've transitioned and where we're going. And we'll start to unpack from there.
Yeah, sounds good. So that's exactly right. I fell into this industry in 2005. Nobody chooses to be in this industry, right? And we all just discover it. And all of a sudden, here we are. But in 2005, I moved down to the Outer Banks, fresh out of graduate school, really had no idea what I wanted to do. I know I liked the beach, I like the surf, and real estate was okay. We cut three things put together, said this might be a good opportunity. But I actually started my career with Hatteras Realty, which was owned and ran by Stuart Couch, legend in the vacation rental industry. So very lucky to do that. He took me under his wing. He really showed me what the business was about. Brought me to my first VRMA, introduced me to all the people that I know now pretty much, and I've known for years. But yeah, since 2005 to today, I would say it is completely different. I was the new kid in 2005. So I was the hot shot out of school. I discovered this industry. I said, oh my gosh, we can digitize so many things. I tell you what, let's take the brochure and just put that online. Step number one. And those are the kind of things that we started doing back then. And obviously it's just taken off from there. But that was also the beginnings of the original HomeAway when they started their roll up and buying, you know, all the listing sites and really going down that path to a true sort of third party OTA in our industry. And watching that evolution to where we are now has been, it's been exciting. And obviously every year you're pivoting or you're changing something or you have to adapt. But the ones that have done that over the years are also the ones that are usually sitting on top with a phenomenal business and are just, you know, a lot of this other stuff is just white noise around them. But yeah, here we are today, my own Carolina Retreats. We manage approximately 375 homes in the southern part of North Carolina. And we also own and operate three motels and inns, which is another segment of our business. It's been really fun and exciting. It's an all-out sprint pretty much every season, and we're getting started again.
Yeah, that's, it's interesting, Mike, because I think you're one of the first guests that we've had on that has crossed over from the vacation rental, and now you also have that boutique hotel in space. I would say that the guest experience, certainly back in 2005 when you started, between the two segments, hotel versus resort versus vacation rental, was probably very different. As you now operate the two, do you find that the experiences are merging? Is it harder in one to meet the guest expectations? Because I do think, and I think it's good for our industry, I'd love to get your thoughts, I think guests' expectations are becoming less. They don't change by the lodging type. They're becoming agnostic as to, I don't care if I'm staying in a resort or a vacation, where, like, these are my expectations about how that experience should be run. I'd love to hear your take on that as someone who is involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say they are a little different, and people do understand the difference for the most part. You stay at a Ritz-Carlton or you stay at a Marriott, right? You expect certain things in the room, for instance, shampoos, conditioners, extra towels. Where when you rent a vacation rental, the majority of the time that stuff is not included. Sometimes it is. There are higher-end rentals and there's certain companies that cater to that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's interesting over the years, and we don't want to say, we never say guests have become more demanding. I guess they expect a little bit of additional every year, because we're the ones sitting here looking at the market. We're the ones adjusting rates. We're the ones trying to help, on one hand, our client make as much money as possible, but also make sure our guests get enough value that they keep coming back year after year. So here's a perfect example right now in our industry. We were alluding to it early on before we started recording. We're in a very exuberant time right now in our business. Demand's through the roof. You can rent pretty much anything that comes online. With that, prices were going up, ADRs were going up, but you have to be very careful, because if you start taking advantage of these guests, especially in my market where I'm at, we have a lot of long-time repeat renters, right? So if at a time where I hold all the cards and I just start gouging these people on rates, well, I might lose a long-term renter that we just, like clockwork, have coming back year after year. And that's just not a good long-term strategy in our opinion. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean we're giving people deals left and right just to keep coming back. The market is what the market is. We walk that fine line when it comes to value versus today's demand and pricing, because that guest in hand who comes back year after year, they trust me with their vacation. They trust, there's a certain expectation level, and I want them coming back because that's just low-hanging fruit.
This is a really good point, actually, because I think Matt might have some questions here, if I'm not wrong. And I think we're going to open up a can of worms here. But we were also talking about where we're starting to see the placement of property managers. What does the ecosystem start to look like in 3 to 5 years from now? And I think in a market like you guys, you have those repeat guests that are coming year over year. They come with their families. They know their property managers really well. But we've got the flip side of that, which is a lot of these customers are also very loyal to some of the bigger brands because they've got consistency. They know the type of service that they're walking into. And so as those bigger players come into the market and they see vacation rentals as a threat, how do you see it playing out in your particular market? Do you see property managers, smaller scale, mid-size scale like you guys, continuing to hold strong in the Outer Banks? Or do you see some of the bigger players coming in, and what kind of effect do you think it's going to have?
So this has been talked about ad nauseum over the years, and it's interesting. My personal belief is we're always going to have outside forces, especially now when things are red hot. We're the travel industry darlings, right? We got through COVID unscathed for the most part, not everyone, unfortunately, and we thrived afterwards. So now everybody's focused in on us. I generally view vacation rental management more like boutique real estate brokerage companies versus hotel and lodging companies. If you want to come roll up 100 vacation rental companies under a single flag, that's just a recipe for disaster. And we've seen that happen before with ResortQuest. Vacasa's doing it, and Vacasa's, they've been successful, but they've also had their issues. That has not played itself out overall. But then you look at someone like a Coldwell Banker, or you look at someone like a Remax, where they have a franchise model where the local company owns and operates, and then they just help with additional support, marketing, brand awareness, things like that. It's going to be extremely hard to come in and run, again, 100 vacation rental companies all over the country, systematize, you know, and keep everything the same, because everywhere is not the same. That's just the fact of the matter. Everywhere is not the same. And if you don't have the leeway or the flexibility to make that guest happy when something happens, you're already a disadvantage to somebody like me, because I'll reach into my back wallet, pull out a 20 and say, I'm sorry, here you go. And those guys generally can't do that.
Breezeway is all about uncovering initiatives that are forever changing the guest experience. Breezeway's best-in-class property operations and messaging platform helps do just that by helping operators differentiate their brand and deliver more service to their clients. Breezeway's smart messaging tools makes it easy to send welcome messages, resolve in-house issues, share status updates, and offer stay extensions and other services. Powering operations with messaging also enables automated texts to notify guests when a property is ready for check-in, along with assigning work orders to your staff the second guests message in with a request. Combine the power of your operations with client communications and visit breezeway.io/GuestX to learn more. That's breezeway.io/GuestX to learn more. Really good point.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things, going back to what you had said, Mike, that I think is interesting is balancing these when it comes to price, because you are seeing this in a lot of markets, drive to in particular. The Outer Banks is a great example, but really across the country, drive to leisure markets where you can get about as much rate as you want within reason, and balancing that with the loyalty of those long-term guests. In this industry, we also have the flip side where with the real estate prices going up dramatically, with the interest rates being as low as they have been, you also are forced to meet certain expectations on the homeowner side. Whereas once you buy a hotel, you've bought that hotel, that's your capital investment. So if you say, you know what, guys, we're going to stop here, you may now have homeowners that have a new bottom that they've got a bar, right, that they've got to get over. And that's where I wonder if guest experience, we've got to find a way to continue, because the guest doesn't care that now is a new homeowner who has a basis a lot higher than the previous one did. That's not their concern. And they frankly, they shouldn't. So do we have to find a way to keep raising that bar for the guests to get them to pay more, especially if we're trying to take jumps, which are much larger than just the year-to-year increase in just the cost of doing business?
So that's a homeowner question. So that's not necessarily mm-hmm. a vacation rental. I only have so much control over that asset because we're a third-party management company. And we have these conversations with our homeowners year in and year out. And the best performing homeowners, bar none, are the ones that are reinvesting back in their property every year. So whether it be new carpeting, new painting, TVs, what have you, we're not asking people to, you know, gut their kitchen every year and redo it. If they're going through and doing these things, those homeowners can command these increases and while balancing that value question as well. And unfortunately, not every homeowner maybe be in the position to do it or doesn't want to do it. And it shows up at the end of the day in results, especially now in this environment with rate yielding and setting rack rates and things like that. And reviews are currency in themselves for a home. Look at the guys that run Airbnbs, for instance, they'll tell you they get a 1-4-star review, their world's in. They put that much emphasis on it. So I would say, yes, that's very important, will continue to be very important. And that's where a professional manager comes in to give that trusted advice and consultation, because we're seeing it, we're getting the feedback, we understand, you know, what performs, what doesn't perform, and we can give those sort of ideas to our homeowners to help them continue to succeed.
I think you've hit on something. I think that the consistency throughout the homes is key. And I think we were talking about Vacasas and some of the larger brands and going nationwide, Matt. It's been one of the hardest things to do is maintain consistency throughout your units, especially when it comes to in unit. If you don't hire or you're not purchasing, you're just purchasing volume of homes just to purchase volume of homes and then try to go public, that's fine if that's your goal. But ultimately, that's going to start hurting us as a brand as vacation rentals, because it's becoming very inconsistent. We're marketing a certain thing and we're not able to provide that same quality across the board. And consumers to this day, I've got inquiries. I'm sure you guys have this too. I had a customer inquiry yesterday and they said, oh, your Airbnb, I'm coming to stay. Your house looks beautiful, Airbnb. And I'm like, no. We're a separate company from Airbnb. We manage homes independently. And they were like, what? Airbnb doesn't own all of these homes?
Yeah.
And that becomes a challenge in its own. Imagine throwing in now that we've got multiple brands managing different qualities of units. And have you guys set up some sort of brand consistency throughout your homes so that when your guests arrive, they've got the right communication, they've got door codes to get in? Walk us through the process of what your guest experience looks like. From the time that they booked, and does it begin at the time that they booked, and then through the life cycle of that stay?
Yeah, I would think any good professional manager today has this dialed in pretty well, but we try to automate as much as we can automate, but then we also have some personal touches along the way as well. So yeah, if you inquire about a rental, whether it be online, through a third party, picking up the phone and calling, you're going to get the same information from everybody in the company about, you know, the property, the procedures, the reservation process. And then when you book, it starts our automatic messaging, right? So you're getting emails at specific times with specific information. You're getting text messages at specific times with specific information. All your information will be right at your fingertips. And we let most of our guests check in directly at the home now. So if you're a past guest and you have stayed with us at any point in time in the past, you can check in directly at the property when you get your notification. If you're a new guest, we still ask you, because we have an office in our markets and we have boots on the ground, you need to come to the office to check in so we can just verify information. And that's a big point for homeowners, right? Because they're like, what if a bunch of 18-year-olds rent my house and just, you don't know who's there and they just show up? We know that now. So we try to have that one extra layer between us and then the guys that just are completely automated or completely absentee and they're just renting stuff left and right, letting you do your own thing. No, we're stewards, we're asset managers in addition to rental managers. So we make sure we drive that point home. But yeah, and even after the stay, so we're asking guests how their stay went. We're asking guests what we could do better. We're touching you 6 months after you check out about, hey, remember where you were 6 months ago. It's time to rebook for next year. When you get a booking through a third party, which does have value to it, it's our job to capture that person and to have them book with us direct next time. If we don't, we're probably not doing our job as good as we should be to drive that point home. So there's a lot of things involved in that. We've tweaked it over the years, but I think communication, when you're going to a place, a new property, or you don't really know what to expect, is absolutely critical to make sure that they start off well on a positive note with their vacation.
Yeah, we've talked a lot, Mike, about guest communication and the importance. If you think about the guest experience, a lot of it starts with setting the right expectations. And that kind of ties in very neatly to guest communications. And I think it's an area where operators sometimes struggle because there are a lot of different ways to communicate with guests. Some guests want a text, some guests want emails. I think the occasion lends itself sometimes better to one form of communication versus another. Have you all found, do you use them all? Is there an avenue that you found that you feel like is more effective in communicating with the guests? I'd love to hear about that.
Before a guest gets to the property, before their vacation, they'll open up anything. I could mail them a letter in the mail and they're going to be excited to see it with information. But I would say early on during the actual reservation process, email is a great form of communication because people are pretty used to that. But as you get closer to arrival, and especially when you're in property, you know, text message by far is the way to go. I mean, you know, even communicating when there's a problem now, we have multiple numbers and we can route these texts to different departments where they need to go. And that's been fantastic for us because now when there's a maintenance issue or there's a housekeeping issue or there's something like that, guests are texting, we can monitor these things in real time. Wherever we're at, we can respond. And that's the key. If you're going to text message people, you have got to respond to them. Even if it's K-L-O-L, I don't care what you say, just make sure that they know that you got that message. Because if you leave people hanging, then that creates all sorts of other issues. Even though you might be working behind the scenes, that can lead to some hard feelings. But yeah, I would say text messages right now are by far the best form of communication.
Yeah. And Brian, we talk a lot about this. I think part of it is, and Mike brings this up, but that communication prior to getting to the rental, that's where I feel like there's a lot of questions and it's not real efficient to have them always calling, but it can be tough to get them to open emails. I'll tell you, so we're staying in a cabin right now and this is going to sound dumb, but the coffee maker has the V-shaped. This is my wife's pet peeve. It's no longer, is it a Keurig or a coffee maker? Then if it's a coffee maker, okay, is it the square filter? Because she wants to roll into Publix one time.
Yep.
And she goes, I need to know. And I've told her before, I'm like, you cannot call our property manager with that. They're getting all these calls, but I will give her credit. Those aren't things that usually get answered anyway prior to your arrival. And there's just a lot like that that I think we take for granted in this industry where if you step back and you're not somebody who's always in it, you go, yeah, that's a legitimate question.
Yeah, here's the tricky part for this because people love vacation rentals for the uniqueness. They like the uniqueness factor. Yet they want other stuff like that systematized, right? So we're like juggling this two things. And homeowners have their own ideas and what they like. And it's really not worth it for me to lose a client because I say, put this coffee maker in there. And they're like, yeah, no, I want this coffee maker. You know what? I'm going to say, fine by me. Knock yourself out. We'll deal with it. We're juggling these things and we'll continue to juggle them. And I think, and not to get long-winded here and backtrack, but when we talk about national players, I think long-term, national players are going to be owning the assets and running the assets. So they're going to come in and they're going to build 20 cabins in Pigeon Forge, and they're all going to be outfitted. They're going to be run like many resort hotels, and they do this a little bit in resorts right now, but people are going to see the way to do it at a smaller subscale, I would think. And they're not going to start buying one-off homes here and here and try to do it or manage here and here. They're just going to say, you know, we're just going to own them all. We're going to own 10,000 homes and we're going to run it. So I think that's what people need to be prepared for long term.
And that is what's going to make the difference between the smaller players and the big players. We say there are big brands that are doing a fairly good job, but the reason that we aren't excelling like the hotels are is because we don't actually own the asset. We don't control the asset. And that's where the inconsistency exists, in my opinion. And that's purely my opinion. Whatever point that happens when a company can come in, own the asset, control the quality of the asset, and then market it just like a hotel does, that's when we'll really see the shift from a professionally managed property to a real professional managed property.
Yeah, and you're seeing that, you're starting to see it now. I think Wander is one. There's a handful of companies out there that are starting this, but the big money on the sideline, they're just still looking at us going, all right, yeah, you got my attention. Now, how are we going to come in here and just spend $1 billion? They don't want to spend $5-10 million. They're trying to deploy a lot more capital.
Yeah. No, and I think that's also attractive from the institutional investors because you have an underlying asset. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before too. One of the struggles really until vacation rentals got really hot was selling your companies for a long time was difficult because you have contracts and they, depending upon your terms, it's not a guaranteed revenue stream infinitely. Whereas if you own the underlying asset, you can always fall back on that dirt. And while certainly that market has its ups and downs, it generally appreciates. But Mike, just one last follow-up on that. And then I think we've got one more topic we kind of want to get into. But back to your point, which I thought was a really good point, though, about the coffee makers. And that was on a micro scale, but you're exactly right. Those same players then are going to want the efficiencies of owning the real estate and the consistencies then are going to struggle for people who are seeking the unique properties. And my family, we go to Orlando a lot, and we do stay in a very cookie cutter. We've stayed in the same neighborhood. Every home pretty much is the exact same. Yeah. But most markets we travel to that are explory markets, we actually seek out our clients that have some of the unique properties because it makes our trip a little more fun. So I think that'll be interesting to see if that balances that desire or need to own the underlying asset.
And I think there's room for both of those. Mm-hmm. There absolutely is. It's relatively two different kind of experiences, two different products, and that's great. Going back to vacation rental management companies, the one benefit I would say, not the one, but one of the benefits of a vacation rental company is we are relatively asset light. So if you're looking at it from a pure business perspective, you can almost look at us like a recurring revenue model company. Shoot, a lot of these companies have been around for decades and they've kept their inventory about the same and grown it over the years incrementally. That's pretty good. That's better than a lot of software companies that I know.
No, that's true. We call it reoccurring, not recurring, because it is seasonal generally. But outside of that, you're right. With the exception of weather events or a COVID, which COVID made everybody's income levels questionable. Right. I don't care what software, what you ran, but you're right. It is very much a reoccurring revenue stream for a lot of these guys. That's a very valid, very good point.
Yep.
So Brian, one of the things I think as we start to wrap up here, you and I had really talked about, but is scaling. Mike, I think there's a lot of property managers who have gotten in this industry just in the last, I would say 4 to 5 years, who are looking at how do I scale? What's the right, and I think some of it's a personal question. What's the right size for me? Can you talk about how you've made some of those decisions now getting to more than 300 plus? And I know in the Outer Banks, there's some very large property management companies, more than there are in your typical drive to leisure market, but still more than 300 is a lot of properties. But I got to believe that there's been certain points in your scaling where you've had to ask that question. Do we want to get to the next level? And if so, what is it? Because we don't want to get stuck in between where we have more work, less money. I think that's just an issue that a lot of these guys are struggling with.
Yeah. And that's a great question. Great point. Because we've been talking to some other people on Twitter and just kind of offline on this stuff. I'm the opinion you need to look at it from a couple of different perspectives. You need to be either extremely niche focused, right? So super high-end estates in Sun Valley, you own that segment where you can charge a premium and you're providing a premium service. or you need to get pretty big. Because if you're in the middle, and look, there's a lot of people that make a good living doing this, where you got 30 to 50 to 100 properties, no doubt. But that's a pretty intense job for somebody, because it's not like you can get to that 50 properties and say, I'm gonna hire a GM, I'm gonna sit back and look at strategy and this and that. No, you're in the day-to-day. And I can tell you this, you know, growth is expensive. Believe me, every step of the way, when I hit a certain level, I'm like, yes. And I go, now I gotta hire this person. And now we're gonna do a laundry. And now I gotta borrow money to buy a building. And it never really stops. Depends on your opportunity in front of you, and depends on really what your life goals are. But we've been fortunate. We're still not stopping. We're growing, and we're looking at on the vacation home side. In fact, we just bought another little operation in Wrightsville Beach, which is right down the road from us. There you have it. 2 or 3 years before I make money on that deal. But it's a very rewarding business. I would just urge people to really put pen to paper, look at your projections. Don't call yourself an Airbnb manager, please. Call yourself a professional vacation or short-term rental manager, and really see what kind of service you can scale with the amount of capital you have.
Can we pivot if we have just a couple minutes? You headed up Verma, and you did an awesome job with the association. So congratulations, and thank you for serving the industry. We appreciate the time that you put into it. I'd love to know from you, are we, as an association, as a group, are we headed in the right direction? Are people engaged as professionals? Because you just said it, call yourselves a vacation rental professional. And in my mind, I love it. I think there's a lot of work to be done to be calling ourselves professionals. As the head or ex-head of Verma and the largest association, are property managers headed in the right direction? Do they have the tools that they need in order to be able to call themselves professional property managers? And what should we be doing to actually make this work? Because we are competing against hotels and other lodging associations, and they have education, they have the right tools in place. I in my heart of hearts, I feel like we're still lacking. So I'd love to get your thought process and where we're headed in the next few years if we are going to continue calling ourselves professionals.
Our industry is walking on quicksand, where once you think you have something figured out, it's changing. So we have to be experts at adaptability right now. Just a handful of years ago, pre-COVID, I would say, man, VRMA we are rocking. There's nobody gonna be able to touch us. This is exactly the direction we were headed, and we've achieved it. And then bam, what happens? You get COVID, then all of a sudden all lights on vacation rentals and Airbnb and Vacasa goes public. So now we have to adapt and say, okay, are we serving the needs of the industry? So one decision that was made recently was letting individual homeowners join VRMA, which was always discussed. And it wasn't like we were trying to keep homeowners out. Right? That's our client. They're major stakeholders, obviously, in the industry. It was just, if all of our education, all our resources were crafted for a management professional, how do we then meet the needs of these homeowners? But if you see now, and I have a lot of friends that do this, they're buying 2, 3, 5 homes, and that's what they want their life to be, is just to run these short-term rentals in multiple locations. So they're, in my book, they're professionals. It's just not the same thing that I do. Do I think we're headed in the right direction? I mean, I think we're always headed in the right direction. It's just, how fast can we swim against the current and stay ahead of the games? That kind of remains to be seen. We have some great people, you know, in leadership in VRMA. I have no doubt they already know this. They're already looking at things. I've served my time and I really enjoyed it. I still participate. I still contribute. I'll do whatever I need to do, because I think we do bring a tremendous amount of value. Now, I guess we're the old fogies in the industry now, the VRMA, with all the new kids on the block, but we have a lot of wisdom that we can share as well and continue to do.
Yeah, no. And then let me reiterate Brian's thank you, because I do think for listeners out there who have not been to a Verma, if you weren't able to make it to San Antonio for national last year, there's the Spring Summit. I know Explore, we got our booth assignments the other day, the Spring in Chicago, which is always a great, but get involved, because the industry will be better the more involved people are. That means either imparting upon some of these new people the things you've learned and being a part of the solution, because that's going to make them better, which ultimately rising tide, right, bring us all up, or if you're new to the industry, come in and learn, because it goes to the old adage, if you're going to do something, do it right. And there's a lot of people like Mike. I think I always mention Jeannie Daly at Newman Daly, and she's not as involved as she used to be on the rental side, but she was vacation rentals along the Emerald Coast. And those are the places where you can still run into those people at the bar. And one of the things I love about this industry, Brian, we've talked about it, is generally people are willing to impart. If you're willing to listen and take notes and learn, they're willing to give you all the great tidbits that made them successful. And you don't see that in every industry. And I just can't stress enough, though, that if you don't ask, and we do it every week, I feel like on this show, we ask people to come on, and I'm sometimes amazed, like Mike, these people giving up their time, but they see it as improving the industry that they've built and they love. And I think it's a great way to wrap up the show. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, it's been one of those. It was actually one thing I met with Will Slickers and a bunch of people down in Miami over the weekend. And one of the things we said was, especially with conferences like the Verma conferences, coming out of COVID, the most exciting thing that I heard people talk about was the fact that they went to the conference and they basically got to hug each other and just hang out. And above all, it's more of a community feel. It's almost like a brotherhood inside of the industry. Yes, we're competitors in a lot of markets, but at the same time, you go to these conferences and people just gravitate to each other. They love seeing each other. They love hanging out. And I think that's what makes our industry so unique, which is people just love to be around each other in this industry. And so they're happy to share thoughts and successes and failures. And if people aren't taking advantage of that, then they're doing something seriously wrong, because it really does begin there.
Yeah, no question. Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Again, I know it's the off season. You guys probably have a ton of to-dos on your checklist before it fires back up there in the Outer Banks. Beautiful area. For those listening who have never been, you need to go. It is a great place. Parts of the Outer Banks, too, one of the best places to truly unplug and get back if you've got a family and get back together and really reconnect. So it's one of the things I love about that area. But thank you. We do appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you guys. Really enjoyed it. Again, just to reiterate on the industry wide, you're exactly right, Brian. I mean, some of my best friends are still in the industry, and I get to see them a handful of times a year. So it's come join, come be a part of it. We would love to have everyone.
Tell people how they can reach you if they want to come and stay at one of your properties, or if they've got business or they've got questions. How do they get in touch with you?
So CarolinaRetreats.com. We're based in Wilmington. We have properties from Topsail Island to Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach, and then motels and inns from the Outer Banks all the way down. So CarolinaRetreats.com, and you can email me anytime, mh@CarolinaRetreats.com. If you got any questions, I'd love to connect with folks.
Thanks again, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
That's it for this week's episode of GuestX, a member of the Hospitality Podcast Network. Be sure to sign up for our email list at guestxpodcast.com. That's guest, the letter X, podcast.com. And follow us on your favorite podcast app. We are Brian Hamowy and Matthew Loney signing off and reminding you to always create a customer experience worth talking about.